For the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we would like to wish all you fathers a very special Father's Day as you gather together with family members, and may everyone, you know, appreciate the leadership of the father in the home. Well, we all need to have a good influence, especially fathers, and not only in our families, but in the world as Christians. So we're going to ask this morning the question, what kind of influence are we having on the world? As we go to Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, we'll study together from this text. Yes, and then we all need to answer the question, what kind of influence am I having on the world as a member of the Lord's church? And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins and Father Morgan Street Church of Christ. We welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And hopefully every one of us are doing just that. Now, we want to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville. Yes, what are we doing in our Bible classes? We're studying God's precious word, of course. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so in spirit with a proper attitude and in truth, that is, according to the New Testament pattern, John 4:24. Now, something else we want to mention, we're always glad to study God's word, having Bible studies. Yes, that's a great opportunity, and we look forward to those. But also, we're happy to have you send in questions or make comments, positive or negative. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151. And also our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. One other thing to add, our website address is www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now we're going to get into our study as we go to Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. And as you know, Jesus, from the side of a mount, began to preach, beginning in verse 3. And this first section we call the Beatitudes, as it begins with blessed. Yes, happy. And certainly we want to follow this scriptures. We want to follow the teaching of Christ, and we'll be happy. There's no doubt about that. But we're going to focus in on verse 13 and go through 16. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So, in this text, yes, Jesus is referring to the kingdom of heaven, which is to come. The church will be soon established. That's certainly brought out in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then as we just read in verses 13 through 16, this would be those who were obedient to the gospel and would be Christians after having heard the word, believing that Jesus is the Christ, repenting of their sins, confessing, yes, that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, and then to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. and thus they would be added to the body of Christ, the church of Christ, the kingdom of heaven. And so as we study this morning, we want to understand why Jesus used salt and light to refer to Christians in the church of Christ. Again, this would be the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And so we want to ask ourselves, what kind of influence are we having on the world, especially in our families, but not only that, but in the world as we go out in the community. And so we want to make that personal, each one of us, answer for ourselves. So let's begin with, as salt preserves food, Christians are to preserve the life of Christ on the earth. We can see why Jesus would use salt and light in referring to members of the body of Christ. Yes, as salt preserves food, Christians are to preserve the life of Christ here on the earth. We know that salt works as an antidote to corruption and rotting. And it has medicinal qualities which soothe and heal. I remember my mother having me gargle with warm salt water for a sore throat, and it helped. I don't know if mothers are doing this today with all the different products out, you know, for sore throats where you can spray and so forth into the throat. But I'll tell you, that was a proper thing to have me do as I was growing up, and I appreciated it. Yes, gargling with warm salt water, still a good way to treat a sore throat. And also, you can take a pinch of salt and have the flowers that are in the vase last longer. Call it a vase or a vase. I don't care which one we use, but you know what I'm saying there. And something else, salt helps clean windows. Yes, there's a lot of value to salt. And go back to Leviticus 2:13 with me. Notice this. And every oblation of thy meat offering shall thou season with salt. Neither shall thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from that thy meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. So that was important, wasn't it? For the Israelites to use salt in their meat offerings. So, as we know, of course, the Christian influence, if it was removed, well, we know what would happen, do we not? What would become of the world? It would be an awful situation, more so than it is now, if you remove the Christian influence. Well, remember, there was not enough salt in the days of Noah, nor in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, nor the nations of Canaan. They didn't have that salt that was needed as those who were following God's instructions. Genesis chapter 6, you note that, and chapter 13, chapter 18, chapter 19, on into Deuteronomy, chapter 9 in particular. You can see there was not enough salt in those days. But faithful Christians are to be the proof and the monuments to the success of living according to the truth. This is what it's going to do for you. Christianity is the best life possible. There should be no doubt about that. And so we are to be Christ-like, to truly be followers, to be followers of Jesus, which is going to help preserve the life of Christ on the earth, as salt helps preserve food. Yes, we need to be truly followers of Christ, and thus have the mind of Christ, Philippians 2:5. Following his teachings, living in accordance to the New Testament pattern. 2 Corinthians 4:11, For we which live are alway delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Notice that again. The life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Christ living in us, in other words. Paul goes on to say in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And notice what the Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Are we doing that? Are we allowing Christ to continue and preserve his life through our living out his teachings here on the earth? Well, that's badly needed, isn't it? Certainly a lot more of it. And something else we want to mention about salt, it gives flavor to food. We all know that. And as salt gives flavor to food, Christians are to give flavor to life. You know, salt brings out hidden flavor in meats and vegetables. Something I like is salt on watermelon. I was brought up in the South. Yes. And that was very common. I think sometimes people think that's strange, but you ought to try it and then tell me it's strange. But here is something to think about as we eat our lunch today. Try eating it without any salt. I mean, cooking without salt, and don't add any salt. Now, some of us with high blood pressure quit using table salt, but it's certainly salted when it's being cooked, so you can see how it adds flavor to food. And actually, salt is necessary for life. I remember taking salt tablets back in high school when I was playing football, and we would start practicing in August, and in Memphis, that was a hot time. Let me tell you, the dog days of August is an expression I remember. So it's necessary to keep salt in your body, especially when playing sports in hot and humid weather. Well, again, to relate this to a spiritual application, godly living is necessary for the world to have flavor. Trials and sufferings are easier to bear, as they taste better with God's word. Colossians 4:6, for example. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Are we with that seasoned salt where we know what to say when given an opportunity to share the gospel with someone? As members of the Lord's church, we must have an influence for good. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Of course, we have to be in the Lord, in his church, in his body, and labor, continuing, not giving up. Do we recall who has had the most spiritual influence on our lives? Think about that. Who was it that shared the gospel with us? Who was it that lived such a godly life that we were in awe and we wanted to be like them? So now, let us ask ourselves, what kind of influence am I having on those who are around me? Bob Hawkins, give an account for yourself. Don't just preach this to someone else. I need it. But so do we all. Is that not true? Well, it is, isn't it? Well, let's go on. Salt is good for nothing. We got to point this out because Jesus did. Salt is good for nothing when it loses its flavor. And God's children are good for nothing when they lose their spirituality. Isn't that right? Well, yes, it is. Salt can be contaminated by foreign substances. And salt, which has lost its flavor, it cannot be disposed of in the soil, so it's cast out in the streets to be trodden underfoot. Let's think about this. Here's an example that will show the necessity of having a good influence as a Christian on the world. What good is a physician who refuses to work with the sick? Imagine that. Well, he's not going to be very useful in society. He went through school. He learned all about treating diseases and helping the sick, but then he doesn't want to apply it. He just sits back and says, I don't want to have anything to do with these sick folks. Well, I think we get the point. Or here's another example, a mechanic that doesn't want to get his hands dirty. Imagine being a mechanic that doesn't want to get his hands dirty. Well, he's not going to really be a mechanic is the point. So how do we apply that to ourselves as members of the body of Christ? If we refuse to do the work of the church, instead of having a good influence, what are we doing? We're not having a good influence at all if we're not practicing Christianity. And you see what Jesus said about being attached to the true vine in John 15, 1 through 10. What about those branches that are not producing fruit? We better study that. Without Christ, we can do nothing, but through Christ, we can do all things which strengtheneth us. Philippians 4:13. In John 15:5, we're nothing without Christ. And we're going to be cut off as a branch if we're not having an influence as a Christian, a good influence. We certainly don't want to hinder anyone and have a bad influence. Now, how can we in the Lord's church deteriorate spiritually and have a good influence on the world? We can't. It's just not going to happen. So as Christians, we are to live in the world, but not to be of the world. Let me point that out. We certainly can't take ourselves out of the world. A ship can't allow the water to come in, but it's certainly going to need to be in the water. You just don't want that water to come into the ship. The same is true as a Christian in the world. We live in the world, but we don't want to be worldly minded. No. See John, 1 John 2:15 through 17. We're not to love the world where we're taking our mind off of what is spiritual, that which is above. And so we want to continue to have a good influence, not allow the world to take it away. Remember what Jesus said to the church of Laodicea, Revelation 3, 15 and 16. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Jesus doesn't want lukewarm Christians. It makes him sick. Do we understand that? And I'm speaking to myself. We all need to think about this. Every one of us. What kind of influence am I having on the world as a member of the body of Christ? Well, we've looked at salt as Jesus used this as an example of the influence for his children, his members in his body, the Church of Christ. Now let's talk about light and go back to verses 14 through 16. we notice Jesus uses the analogy, "You are the light of the world. A city is set on a hill cannot be hid. It's there for all to see. And neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Well, we cannot live without the light of the sun, can we? It provides heat, removes darkness, reveals danger, shows the path, and refreshes our health. So light from the sun does what? It dispels darkness. And Christians are to reflect the light of the Son of God, capital S-O-N, which dispels the darkness of sin. That's the analogy, isn't it? We talked about salt, yes. Works internally as we use it on our food, whereas light works externally. We're to shine forth the truth to the world to dispel the darkness of sin. We're all part of the humankind, the mankind here on the earth. But now we need to shine forth, yes, externally, to get the truth to the world, to dispel the darkness of sin. And imagine putting a cover over a lit lamp while trying to read a book. It's foolishness, isn't it? So now let's make the spiritual application. Christians must boldly uphold the truth, not for self-glory or self-esteem, honor, that we're wanting applause for ourselves, but that others may see that we are living as God would have all men to live. This glorifies God, not ourselves. We are the ones who need to make the difference if we're living Christ-like lives. And we have to continue on no matter how many are not. We're badly needed. And you all see this. We know the difficulties we're living in today. And what all is going on is disappointing, sickening. It causes us grief. But let's not be deterred from our responsibility as a child of God to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. So we're not the light ourselves. No, but we're reflecting the light of the Son, capital S-O-N, as we live by his word. In John 8:12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me," that's Christians, isn't it, "shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." 1 Thessalonians 2:13. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe." The word of God is all powerful. That's right, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." There's the power. Are we utilizing it? In John 1, 4 and 5, "In him," that is Christ, "was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." We don't want to be in the darkness, do we? We want to be in the light. Verse 9, "That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." Ephesians 5:14, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." That's right. Philippians 2:15, "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Now that's needed. We all should see that. Are we shining as lights in the world? Yes, we're in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. But we need to be blameless and harmless because we're the sons of God if we're members of the body of Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They're not seeing it. They're blinded. That's being closed-minded to the truth, isn't it? And certainly we don't want to be of that number. We want to be those having the influence because we are created in the image of God and we're now living a life that is Christ-like, Christ-like as His followers in submitting to the teachings and doctrine of Christ. So as we close out our study this morning, we've seen how salt and light were used by our Savior to show His followers how important their influence is to life on this earth. And we asked ourselves again, what kind of influence am I, Bob Hawkins, having? Am I, Bob Hawkins, thankful for the good influences in my life? I better be. We're all indebted to Christ. Yes, and we all know that, should. What a price He paid for our sins. He came into this world, into the flesh, there in a smelly stable. What a humble beginning for the Word who became flesh to dwell among us and to go to the cross and die for our sins, not His. He certainly lived a perfect life without a blemish. He was the Lamb of God. That's the price that was paid for our sins, His precious blood that poured out in His death. And we have to contact that precious blood in the watery grave of baptism, as we know in Romans 6:3-6. That's where we're going to be washed clean of our sins and then begin a new life where we can go forth and shine as lights in this world, reflecting the light of Christ. We're going to be the salt of the earth. We're going to preserve the life of Christ, and we're going to flavor life. And this is so badly needed, is it not? We know it is. So we stand ready to assist you in obeying the gospel. Yes, you have to hear the truth. That's how our faith comes. Then believe Jesus is the Christ. Repent of your sins. Make the good confession unto salvation. And then to be baptized into Christ. That's how we put on Christ, Galatians 3:27. And then the Lord adds us to His body, the true church, where we need to remain faithful. Even if it means our death, we're going to have the victory. So let's be sure we've been obedient to the gospel. If not, we stand ready here to assist you and study further. Thank you so much for listening today.